Tomorrow is Juneteenth, commemorating the end of slavery in the United States after the Civil War. Josiah Golson is an artist, lawyer, and writer here in Chattanooga who founded the 800 Collective, a diverse group of artists who use their art to spark civic engagement. Tomorrow, at noon on Facebook and at 1 p.m. on Instagram, he will read his work, The Souls of Free Folk.
Josiah, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You'll be reading on live stream, not right. once, but twice tomorrow, right. The Souls of Free Folk. For people who don't know a lot about it, tell us more.
The Souls of Free Folk is basically an illustrated book of a narrative poem that I published with Polyphemus Press, a local publisher, in 2018. And the title is inspired by The Souls of Black Folk by W.B. Du Bois that came out over 100 years ago. It was a collection of 14 essays speaking to what Du Bois articulated as the problem of the color line and all of the issues and struggles that Black folks were going through at that time of his research in the late 19th and early 20th century. So what The Souls of Free Folk is basically like a love letter to all of the work and bravery and passion and brilliance of Du Bois, individuals like Ida B. Wells, writers like James Baldwin and Lorraine Hansberry, musicians like Nina Simone, all of these forces of Black creativity that have found their work at the intersection of art and activism.
And these are touchstones again and again and again, whether in the best of times or in the times that we unfortunately have seen yet again.
Indeed.
In the past month.
Indeed, absolutely. It's kind of a like that best of times and worst of times phrase is especially poignant at this time because you see in the midst of this ongoing struggle, like incredible voices emerge and innovative practices and ideas and changes that the people are taking into their own agency. But the fact that it's still necessary, the fact that people are still in a large part of the population is just now realizing what's been going on for all this time, it's painful, but at least there's critical work being done.
Does a series of events, as we have seen in the past month, reframe how you're going to read a work like this, how you approach a work like this? It's a work that can be approached from many different angles, many different ways.
That's a really good question. And what's really interesting is that when I started working on the book in 2016, finished it like right at the end of 2017, and then put it out in 2018. And the book uses the metaphor of illness to speak to systematic racism. So one individual, the protagonist, kind of recognizes they're not well. And then they see that there's almost like a collective illness. And so now thinking about this story in the context of this awakening and also in the midst of a global pandemic is really just very strange for me. And so given that and the social distancing, when I first presented the book at AVA in 2018 at the book launch, like I kind of performed it with this art piece that I was making as I was reading. So now reading it with social distancing and making sure people can receive the story, but at a safe distance, I am exploring like ways where I can share the visuals of the book in real time in a way that can be very interactive and can really put those pictures in people's minds and hopefully like let it sit with them as I read the story.
And when we talk about the visuals, describe for the audience what we mean and how those visuals accompany or are accompanied by the text.
Every page in the book has a specific illustration. There are about like 120 illustrations. And I think very much like as an artist, like when I started seriously trying to work as an artist over a decade ago, I was very much inspired by like trying to create narrative scenes while adding my own words or my own lyrics, or even taking the lyrics or poetry of other writers and then while crediting them, creating a complementary illustration to it. I feel like this book is kind of a blending of the inspiration of like Jacob Lawrence and then William Blake, who of course like had the paintings along with his poetry. As you go through the story, there's text at the bottom with the illustration or the image above. And so you're able to kind of follow it like a picture book for young adults and adults. And so it's always been interesting how people will engage with both and how they find their way from one element of the story to the other. What on one page, it may be the text that resonates, and on another page, it may be the image and or both.
The narrative of events in the past month may not be new, but at least for this moment in time, beyond the African-American community, the perception of that narrative, whether it lasts for a moment or lasts for longer than a moment, the perception beyond the community of that narrative has shifted. What are you thinking about? What are you hearing from people in the community at this time?
I feel like more than ever, particularly in my lifetime, beyond like the communities that have regularly engaged this, people are having to sit with it in a new way and in a new energy, particularly the energy. I think from what I've communicated, from what's been communicated with me and with peers or colleagues and friends, is that the moment that we're in presents a real opportunity for us to understand that the work we have to do in this inquiry that we have to have and have honestly and with ourselves and collectively is something that is lifelong work. And I'm glad you spoke to like that issue, like that element of the moment and how the permeator or go through the moment and then even pass like a movement of sorts to really think of like the issues we deal with as humans are lifelong issues, and we get better with age and we get better with work. Racism is one of those things where it can't be identified as like, oh, it's one thing we'll, you know, I or eventually will like just get through. We get better and we get better, and there's no status quo to it. And there's a great deal of catching up and desperate work that needs to be done. But understanding that, I feel, and really feeling that internally is a great part of the battle that we all have.
And part of that, I would imagine, is this work that you wrote a few years ago, that you put together a few years ago, telling it for Juneteenth and telling it for this particular Juneteenth.
Heard. Absolutely. Timing is always, it's just really like fascinating, overwhelming, and humbling. I've like celebrated parts of the book before in the past couple of years since it's been out. And now this moment particularly, it's just, it celebrates the work of protest. It celebrates the work of voices being spoken. It celebrates not only survival, but thriving and what that can look like and celebration. And so it's really humbling to have an opportunity, even with the limitations of us sharing space, it's humbling to have an opportunity where I can add to the language, a hopeful and healing language of this moment.
And where can people go online to catch it all?
For information, visit my site at josiahgolson.com. For the noon reading, you can be on Facebook and find me at Josiah Golson. And then for the 1 p.m. reading, Eastern Standard Time, also on Instagram, just find me at Josiah Golson. You can follow Josiah Golson.
All right, Josiah, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.